entertainment is so powerful. We've always said this. If Peter or Paul or John or James or Andrew or any of the apostles were here today, they wouldn't go door to door knocking on the door and saying, I'm going to preach you the gospel. They would make a TV show or a movie.
Hey there, I'm Ephraim Graham. That's just a preview of our upcoming conversation with Cary Solomon and Chuck Konzelman. The filmmakers are known for such movies as God's Not Dead, Unplanned, Nefarious, and they recently attended the Echoes of Creation Conference. It's an event for creatives in the world of entertainment. They shared some exclusive news while they were there with Conversations from Studio 5.
What made both of you busy schedules say yes to being a part of this Echoes of Creation?
Michael and Stacy McIntyre, wonderful people, love their family, love them. You know, they're enthusiastic. They're real believers. And they had a heart for young writers and novelists and songwriters and anyone who's trying to work their way up into the business and or creatives overall. Mm. And that's the hardest journey for any creative, is to actually get somebody to pay attention to you.
Absolutely. And we'd also just relocated here from Los Angeles to Dallas. The Lord put on our heart, it was after 3 decades out there, it was time to relocate.
And praise we were God.
Actually, yes, we're actually refugees at a certain level. And this is where we're to reestablish film and television for the US. To counterbalance some of the agenda-driven stuff that's going on out in Hollywood.
What message or inspiration are you hoping to impart here?
That it can happen, it can be done. You know, a lot of creatives, they end up getting very frustrated because they always hear no, and doors close on them continually. And the industry and the world right now is very hostile to Christians and hostile to creative Christians, especially if you look at all the garbage and the filth and the perversion that Hollywood is putting out. I mean, how did we get here? And then all of a sudden, if you're a creative with a heart that loves Jesus and you go to some of these people or Disney or wherever, Netflix, they laugh at you. It's never going to happen. So somebody has to open the doors for people, especially the younger people, and I don't mean young as an age, I mean like, in other words, it could be a 60-year-old man who's writing songs or a novel or, you know, that kind of thing. Somebody's got to open the doors for that, otherwise we just get extinguished. Mm-hmm. So,
and storytelling is so powerful. Scott Hahn, in part of his preaching, points out that Jesus is never, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus never tells a parable, never tells a story until they're actively trying to kill him. And so once it doesn't happen until then. And so it's how we speak truth to power. And that's what's open to us in this society. But we have to take control of the means of production and the means of distribution in order to do that. We can't do it through the existing studios and the existing places that people normally get their content from.
That said, you guys are the brainchild behind God's Not Dead. That's still in production even as we speak these days. What is it you want to do now to influence and to create content? What are you guys doing?
We want to reclaim the culture for Christ. We're actually not at a certain level of filmmakers. We are culture warriors, and we're looking to spread the gospel message. We're looking to do that through the medium of film and television, particularly the shift into television. It's where people spend so much of their time. You know, movies are, you know, if you look at it, maybe people spend 20 hours, 30 hours a year in theaters. If they're pretty decent moviegoers, they're spending 4 or 5 hours a day in front of the television at home. So, you know, our whole message wants to be, once we're creating a platform called Believe Plus, and the whole message of that is welcome home. That's what we want it to feel like, and that's what we want it to be like as an experience for the viewers.
But I also think it's important that your viewers know, and we know, and never forget, this is about what the Lord's will is, because we didn't wake up one day and say, oh, we're going to go start a streaming platform, because that would be impossible. Mm-hmm. And we're happy that it's impossible, because we know there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. If he wants it, he's got to move forward, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. But the thing is that right now, we really believe that we're in a battle between good and evil. And I think they're attacking the children, they're attacking the country, they're attacking the churches, they're attacking everything. And it seems to us that entertainment is so powerful. We've always said this. If Peter or Paul or John or James or Andrew or any of the apostles were here today, They wouldn't go door to door knocking on the door and saying, I'm going to preach you the gospel. They would make a TV show or a movie. Mm. You, with my cell phone, I can reach a billion people in 10 seconds. All I need is the email list, right? And so that's the power of entertainment. I think people underestimate that. Mm. So if we give an alternative for people to let their kids freely watch TV and give them an alternative and show them that good is not bad and bad is certainly not good, mm-hmm. it's going to have a profound effect, just like God's Not Dead or Nefarious or Unplanned or any of the stuff we've done.
Human beings have an almost insatiable desire for entertainment. It's just the way we are, the way we're... This isn't a new problem. You know, ironically, novels were once considered a completely suspect art form, and the first novel that Christians read, widely read, was in the 19th century, Ben-Hur, when it was written, which was subtitled A Story of the Christ. Mm-hmm. So it was the first novel it was okay to go read and go enjoy and so forth. So we're just looking to help reclaim an arena that should have been safe for us in the first place.
So in terms of launching this platform, you spoke of some of the things you guys are popular for. What can we look forward to production-wise from the two of you?
This year we intend to go on production, not only on movies, but TV shows, reality shows, documentaries, especially kids stuff, because I think that, again, parents need, especially nowadays, they need a babysitter. They're so stressed out. Anyone who's had a child, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers have had children, knows it's a full-time job. It's the most important job in the world. And sometimes we need a break. And so we used to be able to put Mickey Mouse on. Now Mickey Mouse is evil. He's sinister. He's coming after your children. What they're doing with these cartoons is crazy. And so now they need something they can do that with again. So kids stuff, A to Z, everything. What we're doing is just, I think it's an amazing thing the Lord is doing. And he's bringing all this content forward to us. And we're very, very excited about it. And I think it's, I would just say to your viewers this, God is not asleep. He is working. He is moving. He is sending the Spirit into people in a profound way. I am seeing people from Los Angeles who I do not even know that are in the business call me up and say, I'm moving to Dallas, I want to work with you. And not just one, dozens of people. There's a spirit of awakening. It's the lion is growling. He's not slumbering. He's moving forward.
Our producing partner, Chris Jones, back when we were working on Unplanned, he felt that the Lord put very strongly on his heart the phrase, it is a fallacy about me that I move slowly, which I always like that. Mm-hmm. He waits for his time, but then when it's his time, he could move decisively.
And this is how we're going to fight back. I mean, this is a battle, like I said, between good and evil. And we all know who wins in the end. It's just a matter of how much damage can we save? How many souls can we save before that?
Mm-hmm. All right. For both of you, you can go back in time and speak to your 12-year-old selves. What would you tell those little boys?
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. I would like to have said to Jesus, I would like to have known the Lord better. And I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, moved to Jersey. Chuck was the kid next door, became best friends, best man at my wedding, godfather to my son. But I would have liked to have been closer sooner and earlier, that I got the message sooner and earlier, and I understood the Spirit sooner and earlier. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I did, like with my girlfriends and, you know, other things, and, you know, you look back and you're like, yikes, but God is merciful and compassionate and compassionate. And so I think we would have kind of redirected ourselves more to Jesus.
I think I would have held my tongue. Because there are parts of the journey that were very messy and very ugly and were without the Lord. But that was what was necessary to place us in the spot where we could serve him the way we're looking to do it now. So I think I would have had a nicer life. And there would have been a period of many years where I was closer to the Lord, but I think I would wind up by force of will, because we are willful creatures, I would have failed to accomplish what we were meant to accomplish. So I'd probably try to hold my tongue, if I could.
At what point did you both realize you were successful in this industry?
You know, we kind of self-indoctrinated ourselves to believe that we were successful, even when we were eating 69-cent burritos, and that was dinner. You know, and they were terrible because you have to. The survival rate is horrific.
Yes.
And so you have to tell yourself, I'm going to make it. But in reality, I think the day that God's Not Dead went out, And we've heard that across the nation, a person would stand up, a pastor, anyone, and would say to the audience, is there anyone here who wants to come to Christ? And 150, 300, 400 people would stand up. We knew right then, Lord, we get it. This is your power. This is what you're doing. I mean, that's an amazing thing when you can make a piece of entertainment and it fights back, and at the same time, you see the fruit of your tree, of your work. That's a powerful thing. Most times you don't get to see that fruit. You're not in the theater. But that was a profound moment. I think from that moment on, the Lord said, look, I told you I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it with you. And it's been just an amazing thing.
Same for you?
Yeah, pretty much. The incident that comes to mind is my dad had open heart surgery, and he's Catholic. He was Catholic. He's since passed. The priest came, and as he's laying there in rough shape, he tells the priest, "My son worked on God's Not Dead." And I'm like, you know what? I never had that kind of a moment with my dad before that. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, Lord. That was a really, and I wasn't even there for that. I wasn't able to be there, but I heard about it, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Lord, that was amazing.
Thank you for that.
You know, Unplanned also, flipping Roe v. Wade, Unplanned,
that was,
unbelievable. That sobers you up, this did that, and Nefarious, which just came out a little while ago, we had a Catholic girl come to us, and she said to us that her friend and her went to confession, and the priest was giving as penance to go see Nefarious.
Yeah.
This does not happen.
Yeah, we've heard a military chaplain is using it as an example of how evil operates. We got an email from a guy who said, I'd never even heard of it before. He said, my son, who's in his early 20s, has Einstein syndrome, which I'd never heard of before. So he's super, super, super intelligent, but he's on the spectrum for autism. And the guy said, look, my son has been denouncing the idea of there being a God since he was old enough to voice it. Mm. And he said, we just sat down and we watched the movie together, just a father and a son watching a movie. And he said, afterwards, the son said to him, it kind of explains a lot of things we're seeing in the world around us, doesn't it? And then he said, over the next 24 hours, he started asking him questions that a seeker asks, and he said, I think my son's going to come to faith. He's like, I don't know how to say thank you. So we get a lot of these, and they're really wonderful.
Of Jesus, the power of the Spirit. I mean, unbelievable. Through a TV set, a hardcore believer that would not listen to you or me or anyone else. Bam! Unbelievable. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman's new streaming platform will be opening this year. We want to thank you for joining us for this edition of Conversations from Studio 5. Thank you so much for making this your weekly destination for uplifting interviews that unite lifestyle, entertainment, and faith. Hope you'll join me right here next week. We're going to sit down then with the cast of the upcoming season 4 of The Chosen. It's an exciting conversation. We had the joy of being in Los Angeles for the premiere of the newest season. Now, for more information on Studio 5, be sure to check us out on our Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram simply by searching Studio 5. Thank you so much for joining us this week right here on the podcast. Look forward to seeing you next week.